Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios in downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Happy Father's Day, everybody. How you doing? Welcome in. We say good morning and get your Sunday rolling. Covey and Cozumel with you for 4 hours. And it all gets started at 8 in the a.m. here on this glorious, glorious day. Yes, slightly overcast, but it's Father's Day nonetheless. And we hope you have the greatest of great days. Ryan Covey across the table from Jim Cozumel. And Ryan, happy Father's Day.
Same to you, Coz. And I know you're the father of three lovely girls. And yes. So we appreciate that. And we appreciate you, Coz. So happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to my dad, the great Robert Covey, a great man in his own regard. And to all the pops out there. It ain't easy being a pop. You know, Mother's Day is probably the bigger one. But, hey, don't sleep on Father's Day. Dads are doing their things, too, right?
Yep, exactly. Give them a day.
Right. Just give him a day.
Give him a day. He wants to watch the U.S. Open. Give him a day.
Right.
Right? He wants to...
U.S. women versus Chile here at 9 a.m.?
I'm rooting for Chile today.
Wow.
I know.
Like, was it the 13-0 drubbing?
Part of it's the 13-0 drubbing, but part of it is last night I went to a soiree in which I was there hanging out with a couple of friends who are Chilean. So I was like, what the heck? I'll root for you guys.
Wow. You're turning your back on the nation?
On our country. Wow. I've turned my back. So, I'm the Kaepernick of the Women's Soccer League.
So, yeah, we're 90 seconds into the show, and Coz has already taken a knee, huh?
I know. I've already taken a knee.
Respect. I will not be rooting for Chile. I will be rooting for the good old U.S. of A., the Stars and Stripes. Let's go, ladies. Let's go get that World Cup.
I want the ladies to win the World Cup. There's no question about it. But since my friends are Chilean and the U.S. is going to hammer everybody.
How about this? Let's root for a draw then. Root for a draw?
As long as it's a scored goal draw.
Yeah, a couple of goals, a little 2-2.
Exactly.
Share some spoils.
Give me a little bit of that. All right. We've already buried the lead, even though Father's Day should be the lead today. And as we said, make sure your fathers out there are having a great time. If you haven't, call your dad. If your dad's right there in your own home, make it a special day for him. And we thank you for listening in to 95.7 The Game. All righty, here's what we've got. The story of the day has to be with the Lakers. Is the NBA back to normalcy? The Lakers are great. They let everyone play for 5 years, and now the Lakers are back to their greatness.
Well, we knew they had money to spend. We knew they had young assets to move, and we knew that they have an aging superstar in LeBron James whose window gets smaller and smaller every day. So I think we saw this move coming for a while. I was surprised, Coz, that this trade didn't get consummated back at the trade deadline. You knew Davis wanted out. You knew the Lakers were the most likely suitor. Because we've seen this with Kawhi Leonard up in Toronto, Coz, where it's the one-year rental, but obviously it went well. But teams are going to be reluctant to give up a bounty of prospects for Anthony Davis on a one-year flyer. Obviously, the Lakers are in a much more unique situation where it's basically common knowledge that Anthony Davis wants to be there long term. So they can go into this deal knowing that you're not just getting Anthony Davis for 1 year, you're going to get him for several years, thus the willingness to give up what I think is a pretty hefty bounty in return for Davis.
But the 1 year flyer part, I mean, it started with Paul George. He was definitely going to sign with the Lakers. So Indiana, whatever you're going to do, you know, wherever you might try to trade him, he's going somewhere. So you don't have any leverage. We went to Oklahoma City, and lo and behold, signed a 3-year deal after that. Kawhi, I'm going to the Lakers or the L.A. I might go to the Clippers. I might go to the Lakers. I might go to New York, but I ain't going wherever you think you're going to ship me, San Antonio. So he goes to Toronto, wins a championship, right. And now he's got a decision to make. Those 1-year flyers, teams that roll the dice seem to have done pretty well with those 1-year flyers.
Yeah, and they work until you get burned and it doesn't work out and they leave. And you gave up a bunch of assets for a guy for 1 year, especially if you don't win a title. Toronto, regardless of whether Kawhi Leonard leaves or not. Now, if he leaves, it's, hey, that's still like the best move that Masai Ujiri ever made right
that's
there.
That's true.
I mean, they're having a parade. So that the proof's in the pudding. But, you know, and I would say the returns with Paul George have been solid. And that definitely shocked me. I thought it was a done deal. Paul George was going to the Lakers. And had that domino fell, Coz, we probably wouldn't be sitting here talking about Anthony Davis being a member of the L.A. Lakers. But, of course, the Lakers needed to get themselves back into the conversation and, you know, back into that that upper pantheon, if you will, of teams fighting for a championship next year. And, you know, with LeBron James last year, you know, he had him, what, at the fifth seed around Christmas before he had the groin injury.
Yeah.
And, you know, they ran out of steam. But
might have been as high as a three seed at one point.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. I mean, I know that he's LeBron James, right? I mean, when he's healthy, he's gonna find ways to win basketball games. What's interesting in all this, Coz, is the Lakers still got money to spend.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, that leads me to talk about the guests we're going to have today, Ryan. We're going to get at 8:20. We're going to get Mark Medina, who's up early today. He's your Warriors writer over at the Mercury News, but he's going to join us, and he's got some interesting insights into this. But at 9:20, maybe the most important interview for you to hear is Bobby Marks, who is part of their NBA front office insider. He's that group that understands the salary caps and understands the minutiae. He does that for ESPN. He's got a piece out now at ESPN.com, and they could have up to $32.5 million in cap space, depending on when they consummate the trade.
Right.
There's a timeline to this. If it starts earlier in July, that number's smaller. If it goes later in July, the number gets bigger. But if you wait till the end of July, who's going to be available? Who hasn't already been taken in free agency?
Well, you could have those gentleman handshakes where everybody understands what's at play. Hey, Kemba. Hey, Kyrie. Just give us a couple of weeks. I'm trying to save a little scratch here to make this roster better for you. So maybe hang out and you know, maybe they'll have that handshake agreement.
And it's interesting you say about that, the wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And you mentioned Kyrie Irving. And then there's David Aldridge, who's an all-around NBA reporter and been doing it for seemingly ever. He's reporting that his sources have maintained for months that Kyrie Irving wants to play with Anthony Davis. And you know the other link to that is LeBron James. And the other link to that is those two guys won a championship in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And supposedly they've broken bread and everything's okay.
Yeah, they kissed and made up, Coz. Everything's good. And oftentimes relationships can be even stronger once you've gone, you know, once you've waded through the muck a little bit and had a few downturns and then you've kissed and made up. Then you've got the bond there because there's a mutual respect and understanding.
There are so many layers to this, and we understand that 95.7 The Game is your proud home of the Golden State Warriors, and we don't mean to make this the Laker flagship by any means, but the Lakers are surely a big story. There are still many big... Yesterday, I'm on the air with Michael Urban when the story dropped. A Laker fan called up, and he said, I had to pull off to the side of the road. I was hyperventilating. My chest was heaving because I couldn't believe what I was hearing, that my Lakers are relevant again. Is that where we... Is every one of those faker fans, because that's what they are, are they coming back out? Are we going to be getting them? Are they all over my nugget? Now, remember, they were kind of feeling that. They were kind of feeling that when they signed LeBron.
Yeah.
And then that fell on their fat faces.
Right.
But now...
Hold on. I'm trying to read between the lines here how you feel about Lakers fans, Coz.
Yeah.
I'm not. It's not coming through so
and
clear
I do
right now.
And honestly, I'm. It's tongue-in-cheek, because I do like everyone. They're just fans. I mean, that's cool. Your team is doing well. That's
right.
Cool. But am I going to have to put up with that again? I had a 5-year window when their stuff didn't matter.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden is it back to like, now it's back to the rest of what the NBA is like.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you look at the Lakers, I mean, LeBron's under contract, and they've basically got Kyle Kuzma.
Who I like.
Of course, and they were able to hold on to him in all this, which I think is key. You know, all their other young assets, you know, Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, all gone. 4 picks. Too much, you think, Coz? What do you think?
You know, it's interesting there, and we'll ask Bobby Marks this at 9:20. There are some who have said that the Lakers gave up too much because the guys they gave up are controllable guys, and the picks are big. You know, other than the number 4 overall this year, though, the other picks, in fact, maybe we should read it off and let everyone know here's the way the deal lays out with Anthony Davis. The Pelicans will get Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, 3 first-round picks. Of those 3, they get the number 4 overall this year. And, you know, you can look at any mock draft you want. They're just outside of the R.J. Barrett scenario because there are some who believe Barrett could go number 2 to Memphis, definitely number 3 at least to the New York Knicks.
Right.
So you're outside of that. They kind of think he could be one of those guys who becomes a star. And then at number 4, you don't really know what you get. But in 2021, they get a top 8 protected. It becomes unprotected in 2021 if not conveyed. Now, we might need Bobby Marks to help us determine what that means. The right to swap picks with the Lakers in 2023. They get an unprotected 2024 that New Orleans can defer to 2025. So there's a lot moving on there, and the Lakers get Anthony Davis for that. There are some who would say, though, and to get back to your original question, that the Lakers gave up much too much to get a guy. But if now that Anthony Davis has said he's going to sign, right. I think you've done fine. Superstars win.
Right. And the fact that they've basically cleaned house, this whole roster has been stripped down to the bare bones. Like somewhere Farhan Zaidi's looking at this going, oh, that'd be so nice to start from scratch.
I know.
Right. And you've got LeBron James at the tip of that spear, Anthony Davis. I mean, those are a couple of key pieces. And now, I mean, let's face it, the Lakers are always going to be attractive for the reasons that we know. They're the same reasons LeBron went there, same reason Shaquille O'Neal went there. I mean, you just go on and on down the line of players that have ended up in L.A. down the years. It's always going to be that attractive destination. And, you know, you culminate that with you've got LeBron James still with a few years left. The Warriors, their situation, their future is up in the air like it's never been before. And so, I feel like this is going to be a real attractive destination. And once they fill out what, you know, they use that other max spot, whether it's on Kemba Walker or Kyrie Irving, because they are going to need a point guard and all this.
Yeah.
Once they handle that, I think you're going to see those other ancillary free agents, like those tier three, not even tier two guys, but like the tier three guys, the guys that are willing to play for somewhere around the league minimum or, you know, maybe the mid-level exception money. You'll see that you know, start to fill out as well. And they're going to be able to construct this roster basically from scratch around these guys. And, boy, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and either Kemba Walker or Kyrie Irving, whoever they go with, that's a pretty good place to start.
Yeah, it certainly is. So we've got a lot we're going to be chewing on today. And here's another reason that Mark Medina is one of the best guys in the world. He's already tweeted that he's going to be joining us.
Boom.
I mean, how huge is that guy?
Attaboy, Mark.
Man, oh, man.
Respect.
That's top drawer. Guy was probably up 5:30 doing his squat thrust, Hungarian squats, getting himself ready, warmed up here on a Father's Day. Man, so we've got Mark Medina coming up in a couple of minutes, and we're going to go over what the Lakers have started to do. Now, there is a side question to this, Ryan. I'll have you think about it before we come back and talk about it a little bit more. Anthony Davis is a super prize. That's absolutely true. Fabulous talent, all-star. Who knows? Maybe even he's going to win an Olympic gold. Maybe he's going to go into the Hall of Fame. But so far, I don't think he's ever gotten to the second round of the playoffs.
Nope, he has not.
And as a lead dog in a sled, he hasn't drug his team as a regular playoff contender. In fact, he ran away.
He ran away from where
he was at the beginning, and they kept making moves to try to put guys around him. So we'll talk about his potential as a lead dog on a sled, although for the first 3 years, he'll have to play second fiddle to LeBron, which isn't a bad thing to do. Ryan Covey, Jim Cosimore, Father's Day Sunday, Mark Medina joining us shortly. We continue to talk Warriors and what the Lakers are doing. Are they setting up for another monumental, huge Laker run? All coming up with us on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, I'm trying to. I've got to reschedule.
Physical therapy coach?
Yeah, a little PT. You know, I broke my leg.
Yeah, how you feeling on that, by the way?
It's doing okay.
You still got your low post move, or?
You know, I barely got any moves, baby.
Oh, you got a few. You got a few tricks up your sleeve. I'm not going to hear that.
A few. That's true.
Don't go self-deprecating.
Not right now. I know, not right now. But I'm trying to do it. You know, you call the place. And they don't, you know, I'm going to call because I have to change my appointment and they want to, I think they're going to want to charge me. And I'm like, I've given you more than 48 hours notice, but it's the weekend. It's not my fault. You can't discount those days on the calendar.
Sure. And, you know, everybody's always looking to charge you for something, right?
Yeah, I'm sick and tired.
Get your hand off my wallet, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Leave me alone. You know?
I'm sick and tired. So I've got to figure that out. We got to figure out what's going on. We've got Mark Medina coming on in a couple of minutes. And I want to correct something, by the way. I said that Anthony Davis had never drug him any further than the first round. They did beat Portland last year.
Yeah, they've never gotten out of the second round.
Yeah.
The Warriors did him up in round two last year.
And that's the longest they've gone, though, in the playoffs in his entire time.
Right.
So it's not like he's year in and year out dragging his team. Oh, they could be one of the teams that you have a chance to win the finals. Now, I know you can't blame one player, but they've made significant trades year in and year out. They went after Boogie Cousins. That didn't exactly make them a 60-win team, made them a better playoff version. Right. Now, Boogie couldn't play in the playoffs for them. Then they got the guy from the Bulls.
Yeah, Mirotić, Nikola Mirotić.
There's another guy who people laugh at him. He was a great addition. Spread the floor out in a nice piece. They kept trying to put pieces around him. Anthony Davis wanting to run away from New Orleans. That's a little bit of a, to me, it's a little bit of a tough mark against the guy. That's just my opinion.
Well, look, I just don't like the way he did it. You could demand a trade. There's ways to go about things. And, you know, like when he showed up to the last Pelicans game wearing the That's All Folks shirt and, You know, I know that these breakups can be bad, but I just thought it was a bad look. I really did. But he's young, and, you know, look, he's got what he wanted ultimately, and that's the NBA in a nutshell right there, where the players have all the control in the world. And let's face it, like, the other leagues, especially like the NFL, should take note. And because the players have control, it's their bodies, they're the ones generating all the revenue, so they should have some say in it. But, you know, there is the other side of that where you got a contract, you should probably play it out. And, you know, a team in a city that's given you as much as New Orleans had given Anthony Davis, probably want to treat them a little better on your way out. Having said that, to get this haul in return, Coz, if you're the Pelicans, plus, you know, Big Zion, Big Z's coming in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Like, their future's actually bright. I look at their roster. I like this team. They still got Julius Randle. Now you throw in Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram.
It's kind of the Lakers from a few years ago. Now they're just a little bit older.
Totally. But yet you've got maybe the best young player, you know, the most exciting young prospect in the NBA that we've seen in a few years coming in Zion Williamson. So if he's – look, Coz, if he's a superstar like people are projecting that he is, the Pelicans are going to be fine.
Do we got our guy?
Maybe not in 2019, 2020. But
right.
You know,
right.
They'll be on their way.
I'm going to ask you about Zion and your thoughts on him.
I'm not over the moon.
I'm not either. We're going to get to that in a little bit. Let's bring in our guy.
All right.
Oh, yeah, everybody. You know the dial pad guest line. It's hot.
It's my favorite.
Dial pad helps you make smarter calls, connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. Dial pad. We use it. You should, too. Mark Medina joining us on the Dialpad guest line. Mark, happy Father's Day if it applies. It's Jim Cosimore and the great Ryan Covey. Boy, you were unbelievably up early tweeting today. Good work, Mark. Thank you for that.
Hey, I got to get up early for you guys, you know?
That's all. You guys are super girly. Thank you so much for doing that. We do appreciate you giving us some of your time here. So let's start with the easy one, your initial thoughts. It's a Saturday, a lazy Saturday. You're probably kicking back, watching a little U.S. Open golf, maybe a little Women's World Cup, and then you get the news that the Lakers are the Lakers one more time as they add Anthony Davis to LeBron James. What were your initial thoughts on what went down?
Yeah, well, I wasn't watching sports, but I was, you know, finally enjoying a day to do some shopping, right? And I saw it, and I kind of had two reactions. One, I was pleasantly surprised that the deal went off because I thought that because of how everything went into the trade deadline last year, that maybe the Lakers would have kind of a position of weakness. But it helped that A, they had a number four pick. B, it was Rob Pelinka doing this and not Magic Johnson. And I think three, it was David Griffin doing it on the other side for New Orleans. So I think when you're looking at this, it's win-win for both sides. Like, you know, the Lakers get Anthony Davis, pairing him with LeBron James. They have that window where it's feasible that they can win now for LeBron's sake. But for New Orleans, it was obvious that Anthony Davis didn't want to be there, and they're able to collect a lot of assets, not even just in the short term, but in the long term. And I think the one risk that applies to the Lakers is there's no question it was the cost of doing business. They had to give up some things, but there is that potential that this could be the repeat of the 2012-13 season where the Lakers got Steve Nash and Dwight Howard. They're trying to give Kobe Bryant, you know, a last championship window along with Pau Gasol and Ron Artest. And then it wound up blowing up in their face because Nash got hurt and Dwight's back wasn't the same and just kind of a colossal of, you know, different player perspectives and egos getting in the way. And when you're looking at the Lakers now, you have LeBron coming off an injury. Anthony Davis obviously had injuries as well, and they don't have much of an infrastructure yet. So it could wind up not working out, but I think because of where the Lakers are at this point, it was a move they had to make because of LeBron.
Did they give up too much, Mark?
I mean, they gave up a lot, but I don't think it was anything where they got fleeced. I mean, I think the thing that you have to give the Lakers credit for is they did not give up Kyle Kuzma.
Right.
And that was someone that they held in dear value, and who knows what his trajectory is going to be. But I think from a chemistry standpoint, among all the young players the Lakers had, it seemed like he had the best fit with LeBron James, and I think that he can also fit in well with Anthony Davis, where you compare that to, you know, Brandon Ingram, the chemistry with him and LeBron weren't the greatest. When Lonzo Ball was on the floor with LeBron, they had good chemistry, but Lonzo couldn't stay healthy, and it's also not a bad thing. I can get rid of everything that his dad would be saying from the sidelines. But I think it was, frankly, a win-win from both sides. That's not to say that there's not any risk that the Lakers took, but I think it's something that they had to make. Otherwise, they would have been dealing with an aging LeBron, some unproven young players, and, you know, not really a lot of good optimism that they could even, you know, make noise in the playoffs next season.
Let me ask you this then, Mark. Like, we know that they tried to consummate this deal around the trade deadline, and at the 11th hour, it was reported that the Lakers were finally willing to add Kuzma to the package, and the Pelicans scoffed at that. Now, I don't know if that was ever substantiated from the Lakers' perspective, but would the Pelicans have gotten a better deal at the trade deadline had they done this? Because from what I heard at the end there, that package, the Lakers were willing to finally include Kuzma.
I mean, it's very well possible, but at the end of the day, I think you also have to take into account that the Pelicans GM at the time was Dell Demps. And
that's true.
He has not had a good track record. I mean, there's been some good things that he's been able to do. I mean, for example, he got Anthony Davis as far as a draft pick. They signed DeMarcus Cousins, but there's also things that he mishandled, like the DeMarcus Cousins negotiations, for example, the whole Chris Paul debacle. So David Griffin is a much better accomplished GM. He has a track record, you know, obviously back during his days with Cleveland. So I think that even if he wasn't able to get Kyle Kuzma, the fact that he got so many draft picks for down the line, it could almost be the equivalent of what the Brooklyn Nets did with the Boston Celtics a few years back.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Still cashing in those picks.
Yep. Mark Medina, who's the Warriors writer for the Mercury News, joining us here on 95.7 The Game here on a Father's Day. All right, so then let's turn the attention from what the Lakers did to how it affects what the Warriors are doing. Are the Warriors, do they just say, you know what, next season's going to be a mulligan because we know we've got to make decisions on two guys who are extraordinarily important, and yet they're going to be injured and unhelpful to us next season? Is next year just a mulligan for a team going into a brand-new billion-dollar facility in the dog patch?
Knowing how Joe Lacob operates, I don't think he is thinking next season's mulligan. Now, are they in the mind of it's championship or bust? What I've gathered ever since, you know, the Warriors lost Game 6 in the finals is that they're kind of shifting the goalposts where – let's be clear, they're not tanking. Like, this is not going to be a rebuilding season next year. But I think they're trying to now become what the San Antonio Spurs were a generation ago, where there will be a playoff team. They have a fighter's chance to make noise in the playoffs if the stars align. But it's not this expectation that they are the heavy favorites to win every single year. At the end of the day, they still have Steph Curry and Draymond Green. That amounts for something. One of the biggest signs that they aren't trying to treat this as a mulligan is they are not hesitating in giving Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson max deals. And regardless of that, I mean, Kevin may wind up leaving anyway. Klay is going to stay as long as he gets that max offer. But the reality is even if both of those guys come back, they're not going to be around for at least, you know, half of the season. I mean, Kevin might be out the entire season. So I think regardless of that, it really hinges on what happens these next few weeks with first the NBA draft on Thursday. They got a 28th pick. And then what happens in free agency? How do they spend that mid-level exception of $5.3 million? Are they going to re-sign Kevon Looney? How do they handle some of their other free agents? And I think what is really going to come down to is, can this front office really hit on those role players given the tough parameters where you're not always going to find a good guy in the draft at number 28, and when you only have veteran minimum deals without the leverage of, hey, let's get a proven guy that's willing to take a pay cut to win a championship, it's going to be very hard. But I think the thing that the Warriors have going for them is that even if there's so many question marks on how they fill the roster, they have the infrastructure of good people at the top, forward thinking. There's investment in player development that I think the worst case scenario next season is they're, you know, a first round playoff team, but it's not going to be a rebuilding project by any means.
Let me ask you this one, Mark. There's the DP, the disabled player exception, and from what I read, that would give them around $9 million to work with. I know that would put them in a higher luxury tax bracket, but hey, we know Lacob's got the money. What about that?
Yeah, I mean, well, that hinges on Kevin Durant coming back.
That's that's independent of Klay. Could they use that with Klay Thompson, or is that just for Kevin Durant? How would that work?
For some reason, I think it only applies to Kevin Durant.
Okay.
So it hinges on him coming back.
Gotcha.
And there has to be an established timeline of how long he's out. I mean, I think for the Achilles, you can make a little bit more of a longer declaration that he's going to be out as opposed to Clay, because in most ACL injuries, it's around 6 to 8 months. So if you kind of do the timeline there, Clay would be due to be back sometime between December and February. Where Kevin, I mean, he's expected not to even play at all next season. So that hinges on Kevin re-signing. And certainly, especially because of how Joe Lacob operates and it's Chase Center, like, they're not going to want to trot out a rebuilding team. Like, they want people in the building. They want revenue streams. So if they get that player exception, they'll use it to spend it.
Mark Medina joining us here on 95.7 The Game. This is Cynical Jim's question. Because you mentioned, and I agree on Joe Lacob and Peter Guper. They are more competitive than any athlete in the NBA. They are competitive. They want to do well. What if there's the belief, because we have heard all year Kevin Durant wants to go somewhere else. The minute they realized he was done for next year is the minute they said, how do we make this a positive for us? If he's leaving us, what do we do to make us shine in this moment? You know what we'll say? We're going to give you the supermax, Kevin. We're going to give you the best. We're going to give you everything you ever wanted. That way, when he does leave, because everyone's of the belief that he's going to leave, the Warriors can say, look, we did every... He got hurt at our expense, and we offered him the world, and he turned his back on us. So don't be mad at us. There's a little bit of me that's cynical, thinking the Warriors said that quickly. We're going to give him the supermax or whatever we can give him, because we can give him more than anyone else, and we know he's not going to take it.
Yeah, I see a little bit of that, but I think at the end of the day, like, even
and if I'm
Kevin's
full of crap, tell me.
Season, they want him back. So, okay. Like, it's not this game of chicken of, hey, like, let's try to make, you know, look good on our appearances for giving him this offer. Like, they want him back for obvious reasons, even if he's out for all of next season. But I think the point you hit on reflects kind of the larger viewpoint that the Warriors have been preparing themselves all season that this might be the final year for Kevin. And even, you know, after exit meetings, like, Steve and Bob did not try to paint a rosy picture of, oh, yeah, we're optimistic or that he's coming back. They were pretty honest in saying, we don't know. So I think what the Warriors have been accepting of is the sense that I'm getting is if Kevin Durant's going to leave the Warriors, it frankly doesn't really have anything to do with the Warriors. It's more of not him wanting to prove that, not him wanting to be the guy on another team, but proving that he's good enough to win on another team. And I go back to a very interesting interview I had with Kevin earlier in the season. And granted, it was before the Draymond incident, but he had painted everything about Golden State as very positive. Like, the obvious winning was great. The fact that, you know, Steph was so supportive of him when he won Finals MVP resonated with him. He always felt that Steve Kerr and Bob Myers were collaborative with him. So even if there may have been things like the Draymond incident, or from time to time, Kevin not exactly seeing eye to eye with Steve on, you know, ball movement versus him getting looks in isolation, I think for the most part, things in Golden State were positive for him. It's more of the free agency speculation that bothered him, the narrative that he took the easy way out here, and does he want to prove that he can win elsewhere? I think if he's going to leave, those are going to be the things that factor into his decision more than anything else.
Yeah, just, boy, everything is just so cloudy now. And everybody's just got massive decisions to make here, Mark. Hey, DeMarcus Cousins, look, came on the mid-level exception. The goal was, a one-year prove-it deal to the rest of the league that he's worthy of a big-time contract, tears the quad, comes back. The results obviously were mixed because the guy was nowhere near 100%. I'm looking at this situation for DeMarcus Cousins now. We know the Warriors can only give him a slight bump in pay based on the rules. I think like $6.2 million, something like that. And that's the maximum they can offer him. Based on everything we've seen, and that's DeMarcus not, you know, tearing the quad and not being what I think is a, you know, a high-priced asset now on the free agent market, the fact that knowing where this team's going to be from a personnel standpoint next year, you can offer DeMarcus Cousins, if he stays here, a lot of run and a lot of low-post scoring, which I think this team desperately will need. and a healthy DeMarcus Cousins for a full season next year could kind of, you know, use this year as the mulligan and next year as the, no, let me prove to the league or whoever that I am worthy of a, you know, 3-year, whatever, $60 million contract, $50 million contract. What do you think of DeMarcus coming back and kind of selling it to him like that? Like, hey, you would be a major focal point for, you know, the 82-game stretch.
Yeah, it's interesting. When we've talked to the Warriors and DeMarcus, you know, after game six, neither party ruled out the idea of coming back. Like, I think generally they're still open to it, but if I had to guess, I don't think it's going to happen. I think the number one thing that's going to go into play is, as much as DeMarcus has loved his time here, he wants to, you know, make up for the lost earnings that he could have gotten had he not injured his Achilles last summer.
Which you could blame him.
I don't think he's going to get the $20 million range that he probably would have gotten pre-Achilles, but he's certainly going to get more offers than $6.3 million. And I think, assuming he's not joining a dumpster fire, like, I think that he will look to get that. Now, say for whatever reason the market dries up and all that, I think the Warriors will still look at that as a last resort. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they look at Brooke Lopez as a mid-level option, as, you know, a thing to consider before DeMarcus, because I think Brooke is a better fit. Yeah. You know, he can shoot the three. He's a lot more mobile, where DeMarcus, even if he's going to be healthier next season, the plane of the style of pace that the Warriors play was just challenging for him. So I don't think any party's ruling it out, simply because why shut something off until you have to, right? In that worst-case scenario where both parties don't get what they want initially, I think that they'll settle on each other. But I think when you're looking at DeMarcus's season, like, let me be clear, they never thought he was, you know, a problem in the locker room. They thought he accepted his role, and even when he would, you know, occasionally get upset when Steve would yank him out, like, he channeled that onto the court, and it got out of his system pretty quickly. But there was a lot of scenarios, because of his health, because of the new role he had, because of the pace, where you would see one step forward one game and then kind of two steps back another, and you just kind of cycled that through. And it was really hard to get a good read on what he's going to do moving forward.
All right, my final one for you. I don't know, Ryan might have seven more questions, but my final
14.
Okay, good.
Let him
good
ask the questions.
I know, exactly. My final one for you is, we're sitting here on Father's Day, June the 16th. If you had to put down money right now, will the Golden State Warriors be a playoff team in 2020?
Yeah, they'll be a playoff team. That's an easy bet I'm willing to make. Now, how far they will go in the playoffs, I mean, I can rule out them winning a championship, but that's what's going to be kind of the gray area. And that, I think, it perfectly captures what they're talking about when they're saying, hey, like, look what the Spurs did. You know, in between some of their championship runs, which was, I think, the biggest drought was between 2007 and 2014, there were a lot of first-round exits, you know, maybe some appearances in the second round and that sort of thing, but they still held the core together. And I think the offshoot of that, what is going to be interesting, is to what extent will they actually mimic the Spurs culture, not just of the synergy and player development, but there were a lot of forks in the road that the Spurs had where they could say, you know what, this core group of guys aren't going to win a title. They're getting older. Let's just kind of start from scratch. And I'm wondering, to what extent do they feel that way with Steph and Draymond versus if things kind of just continue to go first round and nothing else, do they say, hey, we need to kind of start over and let's not keep Draymond. Let's try to explore sign and trades. Like, I think Steph is a Warrior for life, but it's going to be interesting how they handle Draymond and everyone else. You know, just because of the kind of this uncertainty ahead. But I can tell you, they'll definitely make the playoffs next year.
I like that. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Medina guaranteeing a playoff berth in the Chase Center. And,
yeah, play it back next year so I can
take
a victory lap.
I got it. Mark the we don't even do tape anymore, do we?
No, we just mark the file, baby.
Mark the file.
There you go.
Good job. We've got it done.
Yep. Hey, let me ask you real quick, Mark, about Kevon Looney. I mean, what a warrior, you know, pun intended, whatever. The way he battled back, and we've just seen his growth as a player. We know that he's just talk about his, you know, free agent status, what the Warriors can do, what the rest of the league can do, and how you see that playing out.
Yeah, well, when I've talked with Kevon Looney, he wants to come back here. Now, the only thing that's going to be interesting, and this is kind of the dilemma that a lot of young players face, is if there's another team that just gives too big of an offer that's too good to refuse, he's going to listen to it. But I think especially because of where the Warriors are now, where they need to build an infrastructure, they want Kevon Looney. And the good thing about the Warriors is the only reason why there's certain limited spending measures is because of all the rules in the salary cap. But with Kevon Looney, there's really no rules. Like, they have his bird rights, so they can sign him over the cap. So I think, you know, I'm not going to say they're going to give him a max deal or anything, and I don't think they could even do that contractually, but they're not going to hesitate to reward him because of just all the dependable qualities that he's shown. And, you know, frankly, they can do that because they have his bird rights. So expect Kevon Looney back in a Warriors uniform next season.
Awesome. Mark, what are you going to do for Father's Day?
Yeah, well, so my dad lives in Pennsylvania. I grew up out on the East Coast, so I got him some gifts. We already talked on the phone before we did this radio deal.
Wow.
So I got that going. I mean, we'll have a belated Father's Day celebration when he comes out to the Bay Area in August after all the free agency and summer league madness dies down. So I'll just kind of punt on that special to
love it. Good stuff, Mark.
Are the Warriors at the doing the California Classic? Is it the California Classic? What is it called in Sacramento?
Yeah, they do California Classic. Yeah, they'll be in Summer League Sacramento from the 1st to the 4th, and then Vegas Summer League, I believe, is the 5th to the 7th or 18th. Obviously, it's not as big as lottery teams, but at the end of the day, they'll have a 28th pick. Jacob Evans will be there. I'm sure some other training camp guys that they'll want to take a look at, either for two-way contracts and that sort of thing. So I don't want to say it's not important, but, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's more about, especially for Vegas, you can get a lot of guys just at one place at once and kind of converge, and that's what usually Vegas Summer League is all about.
Attaboy. And hitting the clubs, because I know Mark
Rubino
likes to hit
the
clubs. Hit the tables,
hit the clubs. I won money last year, so let's see if I can repeat it.
Ooh, now that's a win.
Hell yeah.
Let's report on that.
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, it's Vegas. Like, you come in off of that high, that means you're guaranteed to lose it the next time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're right. That's how they get you, baby.
No doubt.
Thanks for spending part of your Father's Day with us. We really appreciate it and love your work, and you're welcome to come on anytime. But have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, appreciate having me on, and you know how to reach me, so I'd love to join you anytime.
Perfect. Sounds great. Mark Medina does great work over at the Mercury News covering the Warriors, and obviously he's a degenerate gambler.
Yeah. Hey, I want to – I know we got to hit the break, but let's talk a little bit about –
No, you're like Andy Reid. You're not very good with clock management, so that's okay. Go right ahead.
I want to get into to Kevon Looney a little bit on the other side and just how much you think that the Warriors should be giving him. And because of the situation that they're in right now
– He'll sign with Toronto, but go ahead.
Is there going to be that propensity to overpay? And I love Kevon Looney. Like, I've been talking about how important this guy is, but is he a guy that you are going to be paying – $12, $15 million a year. I don't know that he's going to be that much of – I don't know that you can give Kevon Looney like that kind of money. But at the same time, I think the rest of the NBA might look at this as a real opportunity to peel away at the fabric of the Golden State Warriors and squash this dynasty. I mean, they're vulnerable right now. And so I think you might see teams coming in who maybe want a little bit of that Larry O shine that the Warriors have on them, you know, for the last 5 years, and try and peel away some of their players, even if it means overpaying for them.
And we'll look at Magic Johnson's tweets, his tweet storm.
Let's do that.
We'll do that after the big Laker trade. It's Covey and Cozumel. It's a Sunday Father's Day. I hope you're having a great one, and thanks for spending it with us here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
When are they going to whip out that Covey and Cozumel?
Can we get a rejoin? Can we get a rejoin?
Can we get an adult rejoin? Welcome in, everybody. I'm trying to find Magic Johnson's tweet fest over here. I'll find it.
Well, yeah, he did say, I got one over here. Great job by owner Jeannie Buss bringing Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Laker Nation, the Lakers are back in a championship hunt. Congratulations to the entire organization. I know LeBron James has a big smile on his face. I'm loving this. Magic.
All right. There was one prior to that, and it was this. Laker Nation, comma. You wanted the great Jeannie Buss to step up and bring a championship team back to L.A., and she's doing just that. So his first two tweets reference the owner. Why do you think that was?
I think it's a bit to mend some fences, maybe, ostensibly on some level. I think that breakup was bad. I think Magic represented himself terribly with the impromptu press conference. I mean, the sound bites that came out of that they'll live forever. I'm not going to be here. I mean, come on.
I'm not going to be here.
Just amazing stuff. And, look, Magic's always going to be a Laker, right, Coz? So you don't want to set fire to those bridges. I mean, he's still obviously going to care about the team. He's always going to be, in lockstep with the Lakers. That's who he is. So I think that this is on some level him saying, see, it's all Laker related. It just, we had a bad moment, a bump in the road in an otherwise fruitful relationship.
I will say that the reason she was mentioned in the first two tweets by one Magic Johnson, I still call him Irvin from his days at Lansing Everett. Did he go to Lansing Everett High School? I believe he did when he won a state championship in 1978. They beat Brother Rice, Birmingham Brother Rice. Lansing Everett beat Birmingham Brother Rice. And I believe Jay Vincent was a teammate of Irvin Johnson's.
You're killing me right now.
I'm giving you some great high school basketball knowledge right there.
You're bringing it. The reason,
Lance, thank you very much. 77, Lansing Everett. Do I win a prize or something?
I will high-five you at the break.
I appreciate that. The reason he mentioned Jeannie Buss in his first two tweets is because Magic Johnson wants to buy the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, look at you.
And this is something that was kind of lurking about when he decided to tell everyone he's not coming back. And there's another side to that. Remember, Rob Pelinka, you know what Rob Pelinka, he was an agent.
Yeah.
You know who his number one client was?
Huh.
Kobe Bryant.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
And Kobe has a group that's angling to buy the Los Angeles Lakers.
What do the Lakers go for?
You know what? We should look at the Forbes valuations. Get the producer to look up the Forbes valuations of NBA teams.
Yeah, Ryan, do something in there.
Come on, Ryan.
I mean, it's got to be the Lakers have to be the most lucrative franchise in the NBA, right?
I would think the Knicks and the Lakers and the Warriors would be number three.
Why are the Knicks worth so damn much still? I just don't understand.
Just the market they're in.
They've won nothing. I mean, at least the Lakers, I know the last 6 years they haven't been any good, but at least they've got titles to show for in the last couple of decades. Like, the Knicks have literally never won anything in my lifetime.
They suck. Yeah.
And they have a horrible owner in James Dolan. Just a repugnant human being.
The last time they were close was 25 years ago when they lost a game 7, I think it was, to the Houston Rockets. That was the OJ year.
Yeah.
Which they had the NBA. If 94. I recall, 94, so they had, did they have the NBA game on the, like, on your television screen, and in the corner they had the Bronco Chase?
The Bronco Chase was prominently displayed on the screen in the little picture-in-picture. Remember, go old school on your remote?
I love that.
Yeah, on your old tube TV.
I used to have one.
Me too, baby. And you hit that picture-in-picture, but they did the two screens, the Chase was big, and the game was like the afterthought.
I had the picture-in-picture, and I thought I was such the shiznitzel.
Oh, just a boss.
And then I got the box TV.
Yeah.
And then you could do picture-in-picture side-by-side. They were both 31-inch screens.
Oh, look at you. Did you have the big projector flat screen? So it had the front part with the little the multicolored lights bulbs pointing up at the TV?
No, I didn't have that. I had the one that was like a big box. Like, you moved it in. It was like, it felt like it was like 2.5 feet deep.
Sure.
But it had a huge screen. It was like 55-inch screen, but it was two 31-inch screens.
Sick.
Side by side. Hence, I didn't get married till my late 30s. I just sat there in my Manhattan leather chair, smoking cigars, watching two things at once.
I still have, you go into my family room to this very day, Coz, I got the side by side 55-inch plasmas.
What?
Yeah. I'm not married. I can get away with that. You probably couldn't get away with that today. I can still get away with it in my family room. Well, sometimes you want to watch two games at once. I mean, we got two TVs side by side in here. We'll have, a little U.S. Open on one and a little U.S. Women's v. Chile on the other.
Yeah, we should be putting a U.S. Open
on one. Yeah, I made the request. I think we got an infomercial on one of these right now.
I think we'll switch it
over. Yeah, we will. How much, let me ask you this real quick. What do you think the Warriors should be looking to give Kevon Looney?
All right, let's get back to this Kevon Looney situation.
Because I'm fascinated with Kevon Looney. I think Kevon Looney's impact to this team, he filled a role that they desperately needed. You know, the little hustle plays, little 50-50 balls. Plus, the scheme that they play, Coase, that switch-heavy defense, like, Looney's so adept at that. He's so versatile. And, yeah, he probably, you know, his post-game has gotten a little better every year, and he's not, you know, a traditional big in any sense of the word, but he can give you so much. And he's just got that kind of gamer in him. And the way that he came back in the finals, it was, hey, he's got a broken collarbone. Like, we'll see you next year. To, hey, Kevon Looney's playing Friday, right? And playing pretty damn well. I mean, game five, I thought he was really good until he got hurt. Game four, I mean, this guy laid it all on the line for this team. And there were a lot of guys that had that kind of run in him this postseason. But Kevon Looney's, you know, here's a guy that made $1.5 million this year. Like, what kind of raise do you give him? And I wonder how much interest he would garner from the rest of the NBA right now.
And when he came back, we should also point out, when Kevon Looney came back after we were told by the Warriors he was not going to play anymore, and then miraculously he came back, Toronto thumped him in his chest every chance they could.
Yeah, you're right.
Every chance they had Serge Ibaka or Pascal Siakam or Mark Gasol just giving him something right in the chest just to make him know, hey, we understand you might be a little hurt. Let's see how healthy you are.
And it's understandable. It's competition. It's the playoffs.
That's badass. Now, I don't know what a mid-level exception would be in this coming year's NBA.
Like six something.
See, I think that's what he is.
But I don't think they use the mid-level exception on Kevon Looney.
No,
you got
his
bird rights. So
right,
just,
but I'm just looking at a general number.
Right,
like,
I got you.
You were saying, God, do you give him 15? I don't think Boogie's going to get 15.
No, you don't give him 15.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm thinking, let me put you like this. I think it's closer to 10 than it is to 5 right now.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And
you
I think,
do, huh?
Yeah, like, if you're Daryl Morey of the Houston Rockets, and you know that you could still, if provided they can find a way for Chris Paul and James Harden to smooth things out, knowing where the Warriors are at right now, knowing that, hey, look, the Lakers, they're probably going to be good, but, you know, these things can be cyclical when, you know, new guys come together and that, you know, kind of feeling out period, health notwithstanding, of course, too. If you're Daryl Morey, you look at a guy like Kevon Looney, who I think would be a great fit in Houston. There's, you know, there's teams like the Portland Trailblazers. They could use a Kevon Looney type player. There's a lot of teams in the West that could use Kevon Looney. And again, it's not just the attractiveness of the player, but to throw a bunch of money at him so as to take him away from the Golden State Warriors as well. Because I do think that Kevon, knowing the system the way that he does, I just feel like he's one of those, you know, on a team so star-laden, he's just kind of one of those unsung heroes. If you watch the games and you know the team, you appreciate the contributions. And I just think that the rest of the league's really going to be looking to peel pieces away from the Golden State Warriors this offseason, because this is like their chance to really squash this dynasty.
Kove and Kozemore here on a Sunday morning. Happy Father's Day. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station. We certainly hope you're enjoying this great, great morning, whether you're on your way to church, on your way to a sporting event. Maybe you're just getting up and having a nice big breakfast. Maybe you're doing something special for dad here on a great Father's Day. Maybe you're coming into the city and treating your dad to a mother's breakfast. You ever been to Mother's?
No, huh?
Damn good.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
I'm hungry now.
Come on in, have some fun, but thanks very much for letting us spend part of the day with you, and we hope you have a fabulous, safe day. And remember, fathers are great, okay? It's important. There's been a movement in America that we kind of devalue dads.
No,
don't do that.
Not around here. Not from 8 to 12 on Sunday morning.
Attaboy. Attaboy. You mentioned the Blazers just for a second in your screed about Kevon Looney. I wouldn't be surprised if the Blazers are a team that starts to shake it up. They look at what the Raptors did when they had their Batman and Robin. They had DeMar DeRozan, and then they had Kyle Lowry. And they moved one of those guys who wanted to be a lifelong Raptor. He wanted to go down as Mr. Raptor, DeMar DeRozan.
Right.
And it eventually worked out for them. Well, you look at the Portland Trailblazers. They've got the same scenario with their two guards.
You're right.
How likely is it that they start to chip away? Because there's another element to the Blazers. You know, because we look at the Western Conference and who's going to be competitive and who's not going to be competitive. There's another element to the Blazers that the ownership is in somewhat of a question mark, because Paul Allen, the late Paul Allen,
sure,
who was a wonderful human being and did great things with his money and was a big sports fan, but now, and since he passed away, it's his sister who is in charge of what's going on. Evidently, the word I'm hearing from people in the Pacific Northwest is while she loves both teams, her passion is the football team.
Seahawks, yeah.
And the basketball team is very nice, and she wants it to do well, but they're trying to figure out what to do. That guy had billions and billions of dollars.
Right.
I mean, I know everyone says, God, I wish someone would lob $1 billion in my lap. I don't know what I would do.
More money, more problems, Coase.
It's you know, and I'm sure she's done okay for herself, But they're trying to weed it out. And that could very well be a scenario where that team could be in a state of flux. So you wonder if a Kevon Looney would be on their radar only because they're a team that could have a lot of moving parts right now.
It's funny. You must have been listening to my partner Butcher Boy during the week because he's convinced that that's exactly what the Portland Trailblazers need to do. And, you know, the way I looked at it is they finally made it back to the, you know, they made it to the Western Conference Finals. They had their best season in, you know, 20 years. Yeah, they got swept by the Warriors, but you look at those games, they led by, 17, 18, and 17 points in three of those games. Didn't finish the job, but keep in mind, they lost Yusuf Nurkic as well. They're big, who broke, you know, that gruesome broken leg late in the year. I don't know when he's going to be ready to come back or if he's even projected to come back. I mean, it was just a gruesome, grotesque injury. So
I won't watch it.
No, I don't.
I don't watch that
I
stuff.
Saw it once just because, doing the job that I do, you want to know, okay, like, what happened, right?
Yeah.
I won't watch it. It sure as heck wasn't I wanted to watch it, and
no.
I definitely don't need to see it again, and you're just gutted for the guy. But, you know, you look at the Trailblazers, I mean, they were a 53-win team last year. They exceeded expectations, and they got to feel like, again, like the rest of the Western Conference, with the Golden State Warriors being in such a weakened state right now that it's time to strike. And yeah, I could see them maybe moving off McCollum. It just kind of depends on what you could get for him, right? And,
yep.
You know, can you win in the NBA with, you know, your two best players just being in the backcourt? I mean, I think the Golden State Warriors were able to do that, but they also had Draymond Green,
yeah.
Right? Even that first title run where it was
sure.
Like, how could this work with these
Harrison
two guys?
Barnes,
right?
Yo.
I mean, I'm telling you, he had a part to play. Andrew Bogut still had a lot of tread on the tires at that point.
He did.
Andre Iguodala coming off the bench. They had David Lee. They had other pieces. It's just, it's all kind of got to come together at the right time. But let's face it, Coach, come playoff time, your stars need to be the best players. And, you know, I thought Lillard ran out of steam in that series, and McCollum was a little hit or miss. They didn't hit their threes. So, yeah, they could be looking to shake it up. But I also couldn't blame them if they felt like, if you sat there and looked at their season and were like, we are headed in the right direction. We took another step forward this year. They were one and done the year before against the Pels. Now, they're in the Western Conference Finals playing the Golden State Warriors tough. I think a lot of it depends on how healthy Nurkic comes back.
We want to get to a couple of different things here on what people are saying about the Golden State Warriors. You want to hit the Warriors on the Warriors? Like,
yeah.
Bob Myers?
Yeah.
Steve Kerr, what they have to say about this?
Yeah, they had their exit interviews Friday, kind of the, you know, state of the franchise heading into the offseason.
Let me see. How about Bob Myers on the two biggest stories, and that's the Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant injuries. You want to hear that?
Lay it on me, babe.
Can I? You want to play that, or you want me to play that?
You got it.
I can do this?
Yeah, switch play.
I've never done this before.
I believe in you.
Ready?
You just click on it.
All I'll say is that those guys are highly important to us and deserving of being rewarded in you know, the right manner. So, you know, knowing them, too, as people. Those are people that you... Beyond what everybody here sees, we get to see a little. The curtain keeps getting more and more open. The media, the fans get to see more and more of us, but there is some stuff you don't see, which we get for ourselves. And so to see those two guys, not just them, but our whole team, it's hard to find high-quality people, and both of them are that. And so you just do try to keep those guys within these walls the best you can.
All right, so he's Bob Myers, clearly emotional after the injury to Durant. Here, he's very thoughtful in his answers. Do you make anything of the storyline that Durant FaceTimed with Klay in the locker room after the knee injury? Do you Kevin's in a bed in New York after having his Achilles surgery, and Klay's in the locker room and they FaceTime. Do you read into that at all?
They're teammates.
Okay.
His teammate just got hurt. You probably want to talk to him. Yeah, I read that he cares about what happens to him. I'm sure they care about what happened to each other. I think this notion of Kevin Durant being some nomadic figure around that team, I just think it's just a false narrative. I think his teammates love him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.